Praise the Lord. God knows what he's doing all the time. He knows the end from the beginning, from the end, and knows all the in-between. And I just want to encourage each one of you tonight to keep on going. No matter what's going on in your life, keep on going, because God is getting ready to break forth like he's never broke forth before. And he's getting ready to do some great and mighty things in every one of our lives. Your life isn't ending. It's really just beginning, in case you think it's ending. It's just beginning. And us older guys, God said he wants to use us in this end time hour to help the younger generation understand what's going on in their life. And I was thinking today, you know, when we were younger, when us older guys were younger, you know, the devil took us for a ride too, did he not? And he never told us what the end result was going to be, did he? But then as the older we got, then we realized, hey, you know, this was just the wrong path to take. And then now we've settled down. We're following God. And now God wants to use us to witness to other people and to keep them going, falling into the same pitfalls that we fell into. Amen. Your life was not wasted. It was not ruined. You have so much to offer the body of Christ, the new body of Christ that's coming into the kingdom. Because God said it's going to be a whole new brood that he's of sheep that he's bringing in, and they're not going to know anything from anything, and they're going to have to be led, they're going to have to be fed. And he wants to use each one of you, and each one of you in here have a plan, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Quit praying that you die and just say, God, just give me more strength to go forth and do what you're calling me forth to do, because you know your life is not over. It's really just beginning in this new dispensation that God has before us. Tonight, I want to read a prophetic pastor a message of love from the Father. I taught this 12 years ago, and God led me to it again, and I know it's for this hour also. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. It's strictly from your heart. I thank you for these people who came out to sit at your table. I thank you, Father God, they are hungry and they are thirsty, and they want to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father, that Easter is all about love. And Father God, that's all you've been talking about is love. We have to be love vessels. So tonight, Father God, I'm asking that each and every one of us learn to put aside all of our difficulties and all of our regrets and all of our sorrows, and we just pick up your agape love and we go forth as pure vessels that you can work through. Let the word be anointed, Father. Let it fall upon anointed ears and go into anointed heart. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 12:12-13 states, "For I will pass to the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are." Excuse me. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, a lamb was taken for every house in those days. When a death angel came and saw the blood, he passed over, because there had already been a death exacted in that house. It was the death of the firstborn, who is Jesus, the Lamb of God, the firstborn of many brethren. When the death angel did not see the blood, it meant that a death had not occurred there. How many of you in here tonight are the firstborn in your family? Alicia, you're an only child, you're firstborn. You're the firstborn in your family. I want you to know that you're highly anointed of God. God showed me this the other night. The firstborn of every family is highly anointed and has a great calling upon their life. And because of that, the enemy battles you all the time. So if you're a firstborn in your family, know this, that you have always been foreordained for a special purpose. We've all been foreordained, but the firstborn has a special assignment from the Father. And the enemy does not like you. All right? whenever Jesus was born, they was killing all the firstborn sons, right? What do you think Satan's trying to do right now? He's trying to get rid of all of us firstborn. Amen. Let that sink in and think about that. Jesus is a real lamb, and he was slain for the sins of the world, and it was absolutely foreordained that he would be crucified during the fullness of the feast of Passover. As we apply the blood of Jesus to ourselves, the doorpost of our heart, Passover becomes fulfilled in our experience. As we apply the blood of Jesus to ourselves, the doorpost of our heart, Passover becomes fulfilled in our experience. This Passover celebration causes us to be freed from the law of sin and death. Jesus was a fulfillment of Passover. In case you don't know, Passover starts tomorrow, and it runs all week long. I think it ends the 12th. I wrote that down. I forgot to bring it. So Passover starts tomorrow. And when Passover is occurring, there's great celebration. So I want you all to celebrate this coming week. I want you to rejoice in the Father because it is Passover. As children of God, we must continually remember that we are not exempt from pain. All right? And Jesus said, now this is prophetically speaking, this God prophetically spoke this. He says, in betrayal, I love you. Luke 22:47. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus is saying this evening, beloved one, I am love that will not let you go. To those of you who have walked in the pain of betrayal from dear ones you have trusted and loved, I release the grace to overcome such pain and crushing disappointment. If you've been reading the words God's been giving me daily, he's been talking about all this. My love is more than you will ever need to forgive betrayal. Reach deep inside of me and find a place of forgiveness from which to draw upon. Rest your souls in me. Let me cover the scars of betrayal with the healing power of my love. Be not battle weary, but allow me to kiss away the effects of the lies, the greed, and the fear from others that led to your betrayal. You have shared in my cup of suffering so that you might also share in my cup of joy. See that? You have shared in my cup of suffering so that you might also share in my cup of joy. My heart overflows with love for you. My love is freedom. My love is unchanging and all-powerful in the pulling down of strongholds that would keep you from flowing fully in my grace. My love is your storehouse in times of great need. Child of my heart, I love you. Betrayal is overcome by the cross. So you can forgive and you can forget because of the love of God. Then he goes on to say, in denial, I love you. Luke 22:60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here was Peter, one of the 12, who denied Jesus. So if you at one point in your walk have denied Jesus, be like Peter and stand up and go forth and do greater works than you did before. Don't stay down in that pit. Then God goes on to say, for those who have walked as a prodigal and have turned from me in denial, who have believed the lie of the enemy that you are too much of a sinner to return to me, child of my own, I will never reject you. I am waiting with outstretched arms to receive those who will return with earnest hearts, humble and genuine and seeking to be reconciled to your Father in heaven. Your denial of me is embraced in my grace, and your rejection swallowed up in my mercy. I wait for your response to my invitation, sealed at the cross of Calvary by my blood. I am love that never changes. I am love that cannot fail you. I am love that has overcome the power of death and sin. Where sin abounds, grace shall speak a better word than the blood of Abel. Return to me and experience restoration. Child of my own, I am your reconciler. Walk again in the paths of righteousness. Allow me to overshadow you with the power of my forgiving love, so that you might walk in freedom and in truth as a legitimate son and heir. Child of my own, I love you. Denial is overcome by the cross. So if you're a prodigal, and by a prodigal I mean somebody that's trying to get out of a sin nature and you keep falling back into that sin nature, keep walking. Don't stop. Don't sit down. Don't quit. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that the Father doesn't love you, because he does. He said denial is overcome by the cross. In other words, when you denied him, when you went back into that sin, you were denying the power of the cross. He says denial is overcome by the cross. Then he goes on to say, through ridicule, insult, and mockery, I love you. Luke 22:63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. God says, when you have been insulted, ridiculed, and mocked, and when you have been reviled for my name's sake, know this, my precious child, I love you. Tonight, God really wants you to know that he loves you, no matter what has gone on in your life, no matter what is going on in your life, God really does love you. You don't need a man or a woman to love you. You don't need your children to love you. Even though we want all this, all we need to know is that God loves us unconditionally. God says, I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind and wraps around you when life assails and batters you. Now stop and think what he says here. I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind. Now how many of you have been through some things where if it wouldn't be for God, you'd be crazy right now? The battle has been so strong. I just said the other day, if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be standing here. I'd be in some Looney Tune hospital somewhere. Amen? So he said, I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind and wraps around you when life assails and batters you. When the enemy draws near and you feel overwhelmed, I am love that flows as a never-ending river to refresh you and to be a precious ointment on your wounds. I will never leave you or forsake you. How many times did our Father have to tell us that? For you I died, for you I rose again, and for you my heart is ever moved in compassion and in righteousness. For you I gave all that you might walk in the fullness of knowing me and be empowered to experience transformation and become a nation changer to the glory of my Father. Child of my own, I love you. Ridicule, insult, and mockery are overcome by the cross. He says, for you I died. I don't know about you, but when I look at the cross, I say, Jesus, for me, you died. We know he died for all mankind, but we need to make it personal. You died just for me. And make that real. And understand that is the truth. He died just for you. All right? Where men have not believed that you are a sent one, I love you. Luke 22:66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. People are going to test you. They're going to try to make you vindicate yourself. Don't do that. Jesus didn't do that right here, did he? You are not to vindicate yourself. God told me one time, I will vindicate you at the proper time. Leave it alone. So I'm suggesting to each one of you this evening, if somebody's persecuting you, leave it alone. God will vindicate you. God will come to your rescue. You don't have to say not one word, because the more you try to vindicate yourself, the deeper into the hole you go. Your best bet is just to be quiet and allow God to do the vindication. When men have not believed whom I have called you to be, I call you now to lay down that burden and the pain of rejection, for I am reestablishing my people in their destiny and their gifting. Now, what did they say about Jesus? They said, oh, he's just a carpenter's son. What are they going to say about you? I knew him when I saw him in the pornography shop looking at pornography. They're going to say stuff like that about you. That's your past. You don't worry about that. God has, he knew who you were when he called you. Some of you, he called you when you were still in your sin. But he started cleaning you up when he called you, did he not? And he knew what you were going to, he knew that you were going to allow him to clean you up. He knew where he was taking you to, and he knew that you would not shame him. So quit allowing the enemy to tell you that you're not worthy. Quit allowing the enemy to say, well, look what you used to do. That was the used to. That's not the now. And this is the problem with the majority of the body of Christ. The enemy keeps telling them to look what they used to do. We've all made mistakes. We've all come short of the glory of God. But we all can't lay down and play dead either. We have to stay standing and keep marching forward. Destroy the enemy. You know, you'd be surprised you think I'm not making any headway at all. You'd be surprised at how much headway you're really making that you don't really see. But God does. So don't give up. Just keep moving on. Because your time of fulfillment is upon you. And God's getting ready to thrust you out there and to use you mightily. He has to train you, does he not? Because I'm going to tell you, most of you first came in here, you weren't fit to lead anybody. So God had to train you, right? And get the dumb stuff out of you and put his glory in you. And this is what he's been doing. And so that, you know, he's changing you. He changes you day by day. Let him continue to change you. Let him continue to take you to the place he needs you to go to. But don't stop. So when men have not believed whom I have called you to be, I call you now to lay down that burden and the pain of rejection, for I am reestablishing my people in their destiny and in their gifting. What I have established, no man, no weapon formed against you, demon, ruler, power, or principality, may take from you. You know, like God, when he was talking to me last night, when he said he knew my name, he said, daughter, no weapon, absolutely no weapon formed against you can touch you. None. He said, believe me. And I want each one of us to believe that tonight. No weapon formed against us can ever prosper. It can't. God's in control. The enemy's going to keep throwing punches. And he's going to hope that one of those punches lands and knocks us out. We have to keep standing our ground. And we have to keep saying, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. And then don't let it prosper. Don't receive it. The only way it could hurt you, you know, is if you receive it. Don't receive what the enemy sends your way. God says, my authority is irrefutable. Believe in me and believe in the one who sent me. Believe in my faithfulness. Trust in me and listen to my voice. Jesus said, believe in me, believe in God, the one who sent him, believe in Jesus' faithfulness, trust Jesus, and listen to Jesus' voice. The darkness cannot overpower the light of Christ in you. Get that in your spirit. The darkness cannot overpower the light of Christ in you. All hell trembles because I have walked the sanctified path of sacrifice to the cross in obedience to my Father. Child of my heart, I love you, and my love will position you in covenant grace to walk in the footsteps that I have decreed and ordained so that the purposes and plans of my heart be fulfilled in your life. Child of my heart, I love you, and my love will position you in a covenant grace to walk in the footsteps that I have decreed and ordained so that the purposes and plans of my heart be fulfilled in your life. Rejection is overcome by the cross. Every footstep you're taking is ordered by the Lord. God has ordained your footsteps way before you was ever born. He knew exactly where he was going to take you to. He knew exactly what you was going to go through while you were going to the place he wants to get you to. He knew all the side roads you were going to go down. He knew all the sin nature that you were going to go into. He knew all about you, but he still called you. He still brought you forth, and he still is ordering your footsteps. What do you think the world's going to do when they come in and realize, oh, look what I've done? What do you think a murderer sitting up in death row in a prison thinks about day in, day out? If they don't receive Christ as their Savior, they're in utter torment, knowing what they have done. What about the young man who was texting the other day and killed, what was it, 13 senior citizens, Christian senior citizens? He said, oh my God, he said, I was texting. And the man said, son, do you really understand what you've done? He said, I was texting. And he was so sorry. He's going to have to live with that. And if he doesn't allow Christ to come in all of his fullness, it'll probably take him out. And even though he's going to have to live with it, if he gets Christ in there, he'll be able to endure it. Because every one of us have hurt somebody in our lifetime. And every one of us wished we hadn't done that. Every now and then the enemy brings it up into our remembrance of what we did. But we cannot allow that to stay there. We have to say it's under the blood, it's under the blood, it's under the blood, and leave it under the blood. Because you can't go back and redo it. It's done. It's done. Let's not do it. And then we won't have to worry about it come back to haunt us. When you have been falsely accused, I love you. Luke 23:1. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. They're going to lie about you like that. Did you read about all the people that got killed this morning in those churches? There's ISIS attacked again. They expect more of the people that were wounded to die. They were in church, ministering to the Lord, and now they're no more. The same could happen to us in here tonight. We could be sitting here ministering to the Lord, and somebody could have bombed this building. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you free from all condemnation? In other words, what I'm saying is, are you not allowing the enemy to keep condemning you over something you did years and years and years ago? Are you walking in that peace of God that passes all understanding about it? You wish you wouldn't have done it, but it's done. And all you can do is just keep walking. If you're walking in condemnation about it, then you're not trusting God. You're not believing in the power of the blood that Jesus shed on that cross. Come on. God forgave you. Why can't you forgive yourself? And why can't you forgive others who have done wrong to you? Same blood, same power. So let's start using that blood to forgive ourselves. And so we can walk in peace and harmony and go ahead and do the things God's calling us forth to do. Beloved child of my own, you who have experienced the searing pain of false accusation, know that your reward is in heaven. Blessed are you when people falsely accuse you and persecute you for my name's sake. See that? Blessed are you. Blessed are you. When people falsely accuse you and persecute you for my name's sake. And I'm going to have to admit I did something really bad the other day. I said, okay, so I'm going to get a reward in heaven. Big whoop. I was upset. I said, God, please forgive me. And little Isaiah said, I think you said something you shouldn't have said. But how many of you have gotten to the point, you know, forgive yourself. And tell God you're sorry. Repent. And then go on. Amen. And don't do it again. It's not a big whoop. I'm glad that one day I'm going to sit in heavenly places, right? All right. God, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for you are walking in the footsteps of the heroes of faith who have gone before you to blaze a trail with their surrendered hearts, that shout of my love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Draw from the well of my endless love so that you may be called sons of your Father in heaven. My love will set the captives free. If somebody's persecuting you, whenever you love them, that's going to set them free. They're going to see the error of their ways eventually, and it's going to set them free. My love will disempower the assignments of the enemy and annul the evil agendas of hell. If you allow the agape love of God to flow out of you onto the people who are persecuting you, that love will break the assignment from hell, and it will stop. That's a promise from God. My love will draw the multitudes to my Father as the multitudes see the power of my love at work in you. They have to see it at work in you. They have to see you as a love vessel. They have to see you enduring hardship and persecution. And as they see you doing it, something is going to move with inside of them, and they're going to say, if they can do it, I can do it too. Come on. We're supposed to be a witness, right, of the love of Christ. We're supposed to be a witness of the long suffering. We're supposed to be a witness of the power of the blood, the power of the cross. Cast your anxiety upon me. Set your heart free and abandon love to me. Cast your anxiety upon me. Set your heart free and abandon love to me. You love because I first loved you. You did not invent love. God had it. And he placed it within us. So it's God's love that we're working through. Greater love is being poured out on my bride. For my greater love is a fountainhead and source of global harvest. Without my love, you have nothing. Right? Without my love, you have nothing. Allow my love to become your all in all, and in this way, my church will become unstoppable in the flow of the miracle provision of heaven. If we get love down the way we're supposed to get it down, the miracles will not stop. It'll be non-stop miracle. Everywhere you go, the love that's in you will be poured out onto other people. And miracle after miracle after miracle is going to occur. Your shadow will heal the sick if you have the love of God in you. That unstoppable love that God has given to you and I, we need to now share it with everybody else that we come in contact with. Is it hard to love your enemies? You better believe it is. That's about one of the hardest things I think God's ever asked us to do, is to love our enemies. But when we can actually love our enemies and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, that is the absolute truth. People who come against you do not understand what they just did. They have just touched the apple of God's eye. And he gets very upset when you do that. Amen. Child of my own, I love you. False accusation is overcome by the cross. Everything hinges on the cross. When you choose to carry the cross, I love you. Luke 23:26. Now as they led him away, they laid a hold of a certain man, Simon a Syrian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Beloved child of my own, seize the moment when my love manifests in your life. Allow yourself to become one with me in the expressions of my love. As you surrender to my love, I will give you a testimony that will touch the hearts of your communities, your cities, your nations, if you will choose to walk in the overshadowing power of my love. If you will walk in the agape love that God's been trying to teach us to walk in for quite a few years now, what does he say? As you surrender to my love, I will give you a testimony that will touch the hearts of your communities, your cities, and your nations, if you will choose to walk in the overshadowing power of my love. You know, we're all going to have to sit in heaven together one day, right? If you don't give love right down here, you're not going to be sitting in heaven. I'm sorry to say, but I'm glad to say that too, because there's enough hate in this world, and I don't want to go to heaven and have to sit with hate for 1,000 years. Do you? So let's learn to love. We are children of God, right? We are the church, right? Then we need to have the love of Christ dwelling richly within us, and we have to be shedding that love abroad to everybody that we meet, no matter who they are. I didn't say you had to go to dinner with your enemy, but God says we do have to love them, and we do have to pray for them. Amen. Come on. Come on. I used to be one to say, well, God, I really do love them, I believe. But, you know, God really convicted me that he said, no, you have to love your enemies. You have to love them. Pray for them. Pray. The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you, right? I've lost my place. My cross is raised up so that my resurrection love and power will manifest in the nations, causing millions to be won in salvations, causing the hearts of the heartless to become soft in my grace, causing the prisoners to be set free, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak of my love. Holy love is flowing from my heavenly seat of righteousness and justice. All of heaven declares, worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. Earth is echoing heaven's glory declaration. Let's stop there for a second. He said up there, he said, my cross is raised up so that my resurrection love and power will manifest in the nations, causing millions to be won in salvations, causing the hearts of the heartless to become soft in my grace. You know, when somebody walks into the house of God for the first time, they want somebody to come up to them and love them. They want somebody to go up and recognize they've come into the house. And I've gone around and say, look, to people, I've said, look, that's a new person. Please go back and say hello. I've said hello to them, but please go back and say hello to them. We're so busy entertaining each other. We're so busy saying, oh, let's, how many flags are we going to flag? Or we're too busy, well, how are we going to move the chairs? Or, and that we don't even go and greet the ones who come through the door and show them the love of Christ. And we've got to stop that. We have to reach out in love. It is through love that you're going to win the souls. It's not how big your building is. It's not how well you teach or preach or how many times you fall out in the spirit. It's, do you have the love of God inside of you? I hugged somebody as I was leaving today and I said, I'm so glad to see you. And I said, I really do love you. And they said, I know you do. That's why I come. You know, and I went out of here crying. I said, God, please increase my love walk. Please increase it to the place that no matter, I don't even have to touch anybody. They'll just feel the love. The love should be in our voices. You understanding this? We need to become just like Jesus. And we need to shed love abroad wherever we go. All right, I said, Jesus said, all of heaven declares worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. Earth is echoing heaven's glory declaration, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against my church. Now, do you believe that? God's speaking that. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You're the church. Each one of us individually make up the church. And when we all come together, we are the church. We are the body, body of Christ. And we should, with as many of us are in here tonight, there should be so much love oozing out in here that we shouldn't even be able to stand ourselves. Are you really, you know? And we shouldn't have any idea, any notions in our head, thinking about things, dumb things, about how somebody's hurt us or this or that or the other. We should just have nothing but love in our hearts. And that love should be oozing out of us. And that is what's going to win the people to Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. And this is a fact. The more people that are drawn to you, there will be those around about you that become jealous and will try to run you down. Because they can't stand you being loved. And if they know one wrong thing about you, they'll just keep saying it and saying it and saying it till they make that person not care about you no more. I witness that all the time. People are so jealous because people are drawn to me. They don't understand they're not drawn to me. They're drawn to the Christ in me. They're drawn to that love that's in there. I'm sorry if you don't feel that love. It's because you've been really super ignorant. You can't feel that love. But the love is there and others do feel it. And others are drawn to it. They want that love. They want that love. They aren't finding it in the house of God. That's why they're out there doing drugs. That's why they're out there prostituting. That's why they're out there being alcoholics. Because they're looking for something the church should be giving them and the church is not. Are we going to become those love vessels tonight? Are we going to become a vessel of honor for God? It doesn't matter what we go through. You know, even if we have a sin nature we're trying to get rid of, quit sitting around, oh, poor me, I'm never going to get free of this thing. Get out of here. You won't because you keep confessing it. Get out there and do the works of the Father. Quit thinking about what you did and just do the works of the Father and just shed that love. And after a bit, you'll find out you're not even thinking about what you used to do. You know, we're just all family, right? And if I'm going to sit in heaven with you, and believe me, I work out my salvation daily. I do not have a pass, go pass to heaven. I don't. None of us do. We all have to work out our salvation daily. And somebody asked me the other day, are you going to heaven? I said, I really don't know. I said, I hope so. I'm working real hard to do it. But if I make one slip and die at that moment, I won't go to heaven. And that is the truth. But in the meantime, I'm working really hard to do everything I know to do to make heaven my home. And it would really bother me a whole bunch if I worked all these years and then missed out. So I'm working extra hard to make heaven my home. And love, well, a loveless person will not go to heaven. A person who selects and chooses who they will love will not go to heaven. Now, when we use the word love, that doesn't mean you have to wrap your arms around about him, go to bed with him. We're talking about pure love in Christ. Amen. When I say I love you, it doesn't mean I want to date you. It means I love you because you're an individual. You're a child of God, and we're in the family of God. Amen. All right, so I said, and Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Triumph in purity and in righteousness. Mantled in my agape, and that's love, my church shall rise up to serve, to give, and to love with my everlasting love. Mantled in my agape love, my church shall rise up to serve, to give, and to love with my everlasting love. Child of my own, I love you. I carried you at the cross so that you might become an overcomer. And he's as much alive today as he ever will be. Everything I've been reading lately is all about it. You must get the love walk down. You must be vessels of love, or God can't use you. The only way revival is going to start in your life is if you get rid of your hate, your indifferences, and just learn to love. Your home is, did you know your home is not your home? Your home belongs to God, and if God tells you to take in a stranger, you're supposed to take in a stranger. And anybody walks through your doors, you're supposed to love. This is my house, and nobody's going to come in here and dirty it up. Well, I used to think that too. And well, guess what? A whole lot of people came in, a whole lot of people dirtied it up, a whole bunch. It's not my house, it's God's house. This is not my church, this is not your church, this is God's church. We are just the vessels of honor that he's working through to grow up this community. Now, what are you going to do with your love walk? Are you going to stay in your mess? Are you going to stay in your doubt and your unbelief? Are you going to stay in your unforgiveness? I wished I had the word that he gave me about why do you hold on? Why can't you forgive? Because that I thought was powerful. Just five lines, but it was a lot of power in those five lines. It's time, every one of us in here this evening, including me, we get our differences taken care of. And it's time that we love just as Jesus loved. Now see, I think about my life all the time, where I come from, where I'm at today, and where God might be taking me. And I know I've always been a person of love, but there has been a period here about 5 years ago when my love walk was not right. I was hurt. I had grown weary. I was battle scarred. I was anything you can think of. And I did not want to love. I'm being honest. I did not want to love. And God said, daughter, if you don't love, I can't use you. And he said, is not loving worth losing all that you and I worked for all these years? And my answer was, no, it was not. So I did a lot of crying before the Father, telling him to wash me clean on the inside, get my heart pure once again, let the love walk flow again, and let me be the love vessel that I once was. In fact, I really didn't want what I once was. I want the greater love that he now talks about. Because remember, he told me one time, don't ever want what you used to have, because where I'm taking you to is so much greater. So don't want what you used to have. Want a deeper love walk with God than you've ever had. I sure don't want to go to hell and sit in hell and be tormented by the devil. Because he's come face to face to me too many times and told me what he's going to do to me. And I sure don't want to be the one to give him the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to love. I'm going to love. Are you going to love? You know, why are you so upset about what people do to you? Because they're not doing it to you. They're doing it to the Christ in you. That's what God told me. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, they're not hurting you. They're hurting the devil's after the Christ that's in you. And he uses whatever vessel is willing to come after you. So I'm asking you this tonight. What's wrong with you? It's not you that they're, I'm sorry, you know. God told me, he told me, you're not all that and then some, that he's so interested in you. He said, he's after me that's inside of you. We're still wonderful children of God, but we have to get out of this mindset that poor me. We have to get into a mindset, I am so full of God and so full of the love of God that the enemy does not know what to do with me. And he's trying every which way he can to get rid of me, but I'm not going nowhere. Because I'm going to stay in the love walk, and I'm going to make it to heaven. And if I go before you, I'll stand up there and wave at you and tell you to come on. But I'm going to go to heaven. That's my testimony. Now I have to walk that out. I'm going to be the biggest love vessel there ever was. That's my testimony. But now I have to walk that out. Do you know that you're going to be tested and tried when you make those statements? The devil's going to come at you. So, well, I just won't say it. Get out of here, you coward. Come on. I thought you liked a good fight. Come on. God only chooses fighters, you know. He doesn't choose wimps or losers. He only chooses fighters. So if we enjoy a good fight, let's go ahead and destroy the enemy's camp. Tonight, God told me he wants to touch you with the overcoming fire of love. The overcoming fire of love. So if you want that touch tonight, God's here to touch you. He's here to move on you like he's never moved on you before. He said when he's through with you, you're going to be vessels of honor that he can surely work through. Nothing but pure love will flow out of you, and the enemy will have no place in you because the love will be so strong. God's in control of all things. If you can believe that, then God will wash over you right now.